Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Technology Leaders, brought to you by our good friends at Band of Coders. Stone, quite a show we have today.
Hey, this is going to be a fantastic show. We have back in the studio with a CMO with American Cancer Society, Chairperson GCLA, Mr. Jay Farrow, and he's brought with him Executive Director with GCLA, Miss Lisa LaRoque. How you doing, sunshine?
I'm doing great. I'm impressed that you knew how to pronounce my name right out of the chute.
It's all
that's
that
impressive.
Pre-show research we do.
But Jay, I called you CMO. Is that the right title?
I got a promotion.
Something all right.
Chief Bottle Washer or something like that.
CBO.
It depends on exactly what day it is, but CIO. Chief
CIO.
Information Officer.
Yeah. One of those C's.
Yeah.
He's wearing cufflinks. So we're delighted to have you back.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Yeah. How about if you would tell us a little bit about this GCLA, introduce Lisa to us, and let's learn all about it.
You got it. Thanks again for having us. Really, really happy to be back. The GCLA, you know, is a premier organization for CIOs in Atlanta. And as busy as CIOs are, you know, we have to be very picky and choosy as to where we kind of devote our time. And the GCLA has a value proposition that I think really any CIO can get their head around, which is great. So we have, why is that? Well, we have programming that's really designed with the CIO in mind, and really programming you can't get elsewhere, which is really exciting. So this is not a typical group where you're going to get bombarded by a lot of the same old material. This is exclusive programming for CIOs that they really can't get anywhere else. One of the ways we can do that is we have an awesome staff who's working very hard for us. Lisa is our executive director, and our amazing membership. We have a little over 100 members.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's a large organization, and the quality of the member is restricted to, that sounds very bad, but it's actually a good thing for CIOs of organizations that are $100 million in revenue or above. And they're Georgia-based, or at least are a national or global company that has a Georgia subsidiary that's headquartered in the Georgia. And we want to be clear that it's Georgia, not just Atlanta. Now, obviously, there's a majority of CIOs are headquartered or located here. But we do have members that are all across the state, the great state of Georgia, and that are in our other technology centers as well, whether it's, you know, Savannah, Columbus, et cetera. So, you know, it's a chance to come together in a relatively vendor-neutral environment, share problems, share success stories, learn from one another. It's a very fraternal organization, and we're very blessed in Atlanta, thanks to obviously programs like, or organizations like Business Radio X, this radio show, where technology leaders can come together and share, which is really exciting. I mean, other cities, and I hope listeners understand what a treasure we have in Atlanta with resources like this, like Business Radio X, and this particular show, and the GCLA, and other great organizations, because I can tell you, having worked in other cities, we don't have this kind of interaction. So we're real blessed.
Now, Lisa, as executive director, what do you think are the most important things that you're charged with?
That's a great question. So to dovetail off of what Jay had to say, you know, we're very passionate about maintaining the quality of our programming, which helps inspire our members to reach out and invite other qualified CIOs to come along and be a part of our organization.
So the programming is the educational components of this?
Yeah, the programming really is a combination of a few different things. The programming can consist of quarterly events where we invite speakers to come in. Just this past February, we invited Alan DeBerry, who is the CEO of AirWatch.
Sure.
And he is also the founder and CEO, or original founder, of Manhattan Associates. And so he was able to come in and talk to our group about not only what it takes to grow these types of organizations, but what kind of people do you need to be hiring and how do you find those individuals?
That's right.
And that was very impactful and relevant for the members in the
room. Someone
the
who's
RIM.
Done that twice, that's not
and
a
successfully
fluke anymore,
so.
Huh?
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
And Alan is a great example of programming that you can't, you know, the CIOs have access through their position to a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not every CIO can get a nice, you know, kind of private forum with Alan.
Exactly.
And, and really ask him questions. I mean, not even CIO-specific questions, but, hey, what are your expectations of a CIO? And
absolutely.
And so it was pretty impactful stuff.
It was. And we've started some other initiatives now that, you know, our staff is growing and we can serve our members even more specifically. We've started some insider events where we're creating smaller groups of CIOs to come together. And a CIO would host their peers at their location to showcase some technology initiatives that they have going on.
So it's like a field trip?
Kind of like a field trip. It is. And that's exactly right. And they can give
pack
a tour.
Pack your lunchbox.
Pack your lunchbox. Right. If there's a tour component, that's included. But what makes it unique is that their C-level executives and board members are invited to come in and to speak to the CIOs and to talk about the relevance of what is happening from a technology perspective and how it impacts the business overall and where the businesses are headed.
Now, do people clamor to be the host, or how does that work? You got to kind of talk them into it.
Well, it's interesting. We've had a couple of volunteers step forward because they're doing some pretty cool and amazing initiatives, and they're excited about the impact that they're having on their organization overall. They're all over the map, and I think they're going to get a lot of traction, not only in attendance, but volunteering to share with their peers what they're doing, because there's a benefit not only to the CIOs who attend, but the benefit to the host is that it shows incredible caliber of what they're doing to their organization and to their executives that they're serving. So that's exactly right.
So I want to hear a little bit about your backstory, Lisa. What brought you to this career?
Okay. Well,
she drew the short straw having to deal with guys like me. That's
I know,
for sure.
Exactly right.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. Oh. So actually, I've been in technology all my career, and I started off in Ohio on the marketing side of life, working for line of business application software companies. And in the mid-90s, we had an opportunity to move to Atlanta, actually for a job opportunity for my husband, who is also in technology, so we keep it in the family. And at that point, I had an opportunity to get involved more on the sales or business development side for service providers. So instead of being on the application software side, I now had exposure to hosting companies and management consulting and those types of things. So most recently, I worked for 5 years for a management consulting and IT services firm called Intellinet. Intellinet actually is one of the underwriters of the GCLA, which is where my exposure came to this organization.
Now, Jay, are you finding that the job of a CIO and the job of tech executives throughout their ranks, it's changing?
I mean, it is.
It's consistently changing. How do you even begin to keep up with the pace of those changes?
You know, it's interesting you say that. There's so much talk about are the CIO's days numbered, right? You know, is the role of the CIO, you know, going to go away? And, you know, I think it's probably, and this is probably self-serving to say this, or maybe me projecting, but the answer is no. I think if you're a CIO from the 90s and you're still operating as a CIO from the 90s or the early 2000s, your days are probably numbered. And what I mean by that is today's CIO is more than just a technologist, right? Today's CIO is expected to be a business leader, an innovator, an integrator, you know. And I always say I have the best seat in the house compared to my C-suite partners. I get to see the entire landscape of an organization, all its business process, because every part of any organization, any business process has technology applied to it these days. Mm. So to me, you know, the CIO, you're seeing more and more CIOs become COOs. You're seeing more and more CIOs become CEOs, because I think there's an increasing recognition that CIOs are very, or at least successful ones, are armed to make that leap because of their perspective around operations and around administrative type functions. And so I think CIOs have to adapt. But to your point, I mean, you know, there's so many technology choices out there. How do you possibly keep up? And, you know, my secret is to hire people much smarter than me and empower them.
That's what Lee does.
There you go, Lee.
That's not that hard.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. To find somebody smarter than me, that gives me a big pool to choose from. I mean, quite frankly.
But now, that's where I would think the GCLA comes in. An organization where you can be in the room with other people in similar boats is just so valuable, because there is so much, and you now have this kind of resource to tap. If you have a question about some technology maybe you're not familiar with, or maybe you should know more about, right?
That's absolutely true.
You have a bunch of trusted people who are going through the same thing you are.
Yeah, I'll give you a great example of that that just stands out in my mind. I was talking to the CIO of Carter's, and she was talking about the value that she gains, not only from the excellent programming that comes from our CIOs and the fact that we have such a powerful and strong advisory board. So we as the staff.
And that's all volunteer.
All volunteer.
Right. So can you imagine just that? I mean, that, kudos to them for stepping up and taking that kind of
absolutely
volunteer leadership role. I mean, that's a mm-hmm. gift to the city, really, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And the fact that they're willing to give back and to invest in the community and into each other.
Right. Wait, we're not getting paid for this?
Well,
oh, man, I've been waiting for a year and a half for my paycheck. That's awkward. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly. But anyway, so I was talking to Janet, and she made the comment about the value that she gains from just being able to pick up the phone and talk to other CIOs who have similar challenges, let's say in distribution, and converse about that. And that other CIO being able to say, well, you know, these are the things that I've done. And then she can take immediate action, implement those recommendations, and find out, wow, those were great suggestions. And only in the GCLA would she have had that opportunity to build that relationship, create that peer-to-peer interaction, and get that kind of feedback.
Right. Otherwise, they might be grabbing some white paper that's, you know, outdated, and it's not a personal relationship where
exactly.
they can call and understand really the nuance behind it.
Right.
I mean, that's... No, you're exactly right. And
yes.
you hit on the word, I think, that is key. It's trusted.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You mentioned the word trusted, and it's a very fraternal. I certainly don't mean that in the fraternity sense, but it's a very fraternal organization where, mm-hmm. to Lisa's point, all of us lean on one another, and this turns into real business value. If I can call a Janet from Carter's or a Bill from NCR or a Joe from AGL Resources and lean on their expertise for things that they've already done, or more importantly, things that maybe they misfired and I can learn from.
And
I'm
they're
saving...
open to telling you.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot of groups and
great.
People, executives,
absolutely.
Aren't bragging about, well, don't do this. You know, you're they don't care if you figure it out on your own. But,
but that's creating
enough.
Value.
Right.
Right.
So do you get a lot of calls, Jay? Are you the one with all the misfires?
I do.
Call Jay. He screwed that one up 3 years ago.
Yeah. The halls are littered with my failed projects, my friend.
Fail forward, fail fast.
Hey, when I fail.
Fail
I fail grandly.
Big. Gotta go big.
I gotta go big. But somehow they keep paying me. No, it's, I've been leaned on. I've had people call me and say, hey, this vendor is taking your name in vain, saying that they've had a successful relationship with you or worked on Project X. How did that go? You know, and we can be very, very candid. Good news travels fast. Bad news travels faster. So that's good and bad for, you know, potential suppliers. But more importantly, for strategic direction, you know, I'll give you a great example. We're considering a technology for some of our events to allow kind of mobile check-in and a handful of other functions for some of our big events. A couple of my peers have done that already, or at least they've piloted some of that
right.
technology. Why am I going to go reinvent that? I mean, so within a week, we had a call with some of their technologists, the guys that were actually doing it, and we were light years ahead. I mean, we probably saved a month of R&D or just discovery by picking up the phone and brokering a meeting in under a week.
Right, and you know which vendors to use and not use in a
that's
phone
exactly
call
right.
instead of just making, you know, finding them out on vetting them on your
that's
own.
That's right.
I mean, that's,
right.
like you said, a month. That's
and that's value. I mean, and for me, I you know... It's important for any organization, not just for a nonprofit, but especially mm-hmm. as a nonprofit.
Right.
If there's an opportunity for me to create some value or save some cost, I'm all about it.
Now, Lisa, how do you kind of protect the organization from being really so Atlanta-centric? You know, Georgia is a big state, and there's a lot of technology happening around. I know I would imagine that most of it is happening in the Atlanta area, but how do you include and be open to, you know, the Savannahs and Macons of the world as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of it has to do with leveraging the CIOs who are already within our organization, making sure that we actually have a membership committee. So kind of a committee within a committee, if you will, and we're constantly challenging them to Who do you know? Making sure that we're aware. We have a whole target list of organizations that meet the size of the criteria.
But you got to be mindful of it, right? Because it's an easy trap to fall into because everybody's here, you know, in town.
And to think that we should always do events right here in Atlanta, which makes it geographically undesirable for those who may be in Augusta or Columbus.
Right.
So, you know, these are the types of ideas that we're actually growing and developing. I'll give you a great example. We have several CIOs that are located in Columbus, Georgia. And what we plan on doing is just setting up lunches for them with each other so they have a chance to get together, share, you know, what's going on in their world, best practices, talk shop, if you will.
So you're giving them the resources to help themselves, kind of, right?
That's exactly right. So, you know, we're all, our radar screens are always open, and we certainly don't want to be so inward focused that we're only reaching out to those folks who are easy to get to here in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's great.
And the criteria again? Could you share with us the criteria?
The criteria are senior technology leaders, CIOs most notably, but it could carry that same area of responsibility as part of the management team. But they're working for organizations that are $100 million in revenue and higher. And I'll give you an example. There are several $5 billion-plus dollar organizations that are Georgia-based, and we have more than half of the more than half of those organizations, their CIOs, are members of the GCLA as well. So because they're so large, we actually invite three CIOs per organization that has $5 billion in revenue and higher.
They tend to have multiple CIOs.
Yes,
so
line of business CIOs.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, so if you have a GE, and for instance, like a GE Energy, who is headquartered here, although big GE is up in the Northeast, GE Energy Services
that's correct.
Is here in town and are a great partner. Or, you know, we have multiple members with the GCLA.
Mm-hmm.
But there are still some CIOs that aren't part of this?
Absolutely. I mean, it's you'd be surprised, whereas wonderful of a membership as we have, which is over 105 members currently, there are Atlanta has a very rich technology community and just business in general, because we're not necessarily targeting just technology companies, but, you know, there are a lot of just horizontal businesses that have
CIOs,
right?
They still would have a CIO,
absolutely. So there are probably at least 100 more that could qualify, but we're also very sensitive to making sure we don't get so big that we lose that personal interaction among our members.
Right, because that's kind of the secret sauce, isn't
it? Is, very much so. And we want to make sure that if they're going to join, that they have time to engage really get the value out of being a member and participating in the programming. So one of our goals as a staff is to monitor how many events our CIOs are actually able to attend. That gives us a temperature check on the health and wellness of the organization to make sure that we're meeting their needs, not only from a content perspective, but a frequency and timing perspective.
Because if it ends up being the same 10 people every single 20
people. And just because they're writing a check to be a member, it's like that's just not enough, right?
No.
You need some engagement.
That's the power of it, right?
Right?
The power of it is engagement and interaction. And that's the secret sauce, to your point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we're always focusing on, you know, one of the greatest opportunities that we actually have to find out about new organizations and new CIOs is the CIO of the Year nomination process that we just finished. We closed out at the beginning of March. And this year we had a record-breaking nomination season. We had over 150 nominations that were submitted for the CIO of the Year Awards, which is an event that takes place at the end of the year on October 31st. And that's where we have a chance to celebrate and honor the accomplishments of CIOs. And we actually have five categories that are judged independently. We have an independent judging panel and a selection committee that goes through and evaluates what these individuals are doing and what they've accomplished and the differences that they're making within the industry. So anyone can make a nomination. So it's surprising. There are a lot of service providers out there, product companies that know what's happening, and they put those nominations forward, and then we're off to the races.
So the nominations are done?
The nominations are now done.
Now you got like 6 months to pick the winners?
Well, no, the evaluation has already begun, and we have a CIO nominee reception that's coming up on April 17th, and we've actually invited all of the nominees, whether they choose to accept, they actually have that option if they don't feel like they're ready for whatever reason. Sometimes they've been nominated and they haven't been in the position long enough, because one of the requirements is that you've been in the position for at least a year in order to receive or accept the nomination. So we're going to be inviting those individuals along with all of our GCLA members, and we're going to have a program to honor and celebrate the fact that they've been nominated, and we're inviting an author, Dan Roberts, to come and speak about the challenges that CIOs face and how they've overcome those challenges.
And then the winners will be announced.
The finalists. So it's a final process.
Them,
it's a winnowing process. So the finalists actually will be announced the very next day on Friday, April 18th, in the Atlanta Business Chronicle, who is a partner of ours. And we take it down to four finalists per category.
So that's 20 total.
Good math. I'm impressed.
I'm the CIO.
He's our CIO.
I'm still counting over here, by the way. Carry the one.
I'll work with you, Jay.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, so I could just quickly go through what the categories are.
Sure, go ahead.
So we've actually introduced a brand new category this year, which we're very excited about, and it's the emerging category. And this is a group of companies where they may have less than 250 employees, but technology is the primary driver behind their growth. So they're not startup anymore. They're coming out of that garage, you know, less than 25 employees, you know, barely being able to make, you know, get two nickels rubbed together.
Right.
And they're launching and they're doing some great things. And it's exciting. I think this is going to be one of our most exciting categories this year to see how they're leveraging technology and how it's projecting their growth out into the marketplace. A great example might have been AirWatch in its early days,
Or
Pardot, right?
Sure.
So these are the types of organizations that we're really zeroing in on in that new category. The next category is corporate. So those are organizations up to 1,000 employees. The following one is enterprise, and that's anything from 1,000 up to not quite 10,000. And then we have global, which is 10,000 or higher, and they're multinational. And then the final category is nonprofit, government, and education. So these are exciting categories, and it's nice that we can celebrate all different, you know, it's horizontal and industry focus, but we're focusing more on the size of the organization.
Now, you mentioned a couple of your partners and or underwriters earlier in the conversation. Is there still opportunity for other people, like-minded, potentially strategic partners, underwriters, or is that very limited? Or how are you managing that piece of it?
Okay, so that's a great question. So I'll provide a differentiation for you. So underwriters are the organizations who are what I would call keepers of the flame. We have five companies who, as an executive or as a staff group, we report to our underwriters to make sure that we're achieving the goals on behalf of our CIOs. So the five companies include Intellinet, where I used to work, Microsoft, IBM, Deloitte, and Morris Manning & Martin. And so they are responsible for making sure that the business operations are what they need to be. Prior to having a staff, a full-time staff, they actually provided all of the volunteer work to make this a reality. So that just kind of gives you the level of investment and dedication that they have to the GCLA.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point. I mean, before Lisa and Kelly and others joined the staff, it was all volunteer driven. So
that's
the underwriters
exactly right.
actually provided staff.
Mm-hmm. What a commitment. That's fantastic.
For 15 years.
So it was somebody who had a day job and said, oh, by the way, when you have a few free hours, could you also operate as kind of a marketing person for the GCLA? But we've grown enough, and the underwriters believe in the organization enough, and the membership has engaged enough to where we all collectively felt like have full-time staff could take us to the next level. And it's paid off big time.
Right.
It's paid off big time. I mean, Lisa and Kelly are amazing.
So how long have you been with the organization?
So I actually came on board in January of this year.
Oh, so this is brand new then.
This is brand new for me.
Oh. She's taking credit for all of Kelly. No, I'm just kidding.
I know. So I've got – that's exactly right. I will tell you that the first executive director was hired about a year and a half ago. And actually her name is Tracy Crump.
She's
and
awesome.
She did a phenomenal job transitioning
–
what was a volunteer-run organization to having a full-time staff as our first executive director, and she got stolen away.
She did.
I know, to be executive director of Wesley Woods, which is a senior living arm of Emory.
That's
so it was a
here
great,
in town, right?
Yes, it is, yeah.
excellent opportunity for her.
And she's so passionate about it, and she's doing, I mean, it was something she really wanted to do.
Absolutely. But during her tenure, she helped find Kelly Eckstein, who is our membership and marketing manager. So she does all events around our membership and helps grow our membership. And then we have someone named Cameron Tapley, who handles everything CIO awards related. So we've got a division of labor, if you will, focusing on the different initiatives.
And let me give Cameron credit, too, because she, you know, historically was very involved with the CIO of the Year awards in years past as well. And she's been a real rock star for...
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's been terrific.
Now, around the country, are there the same kind of statewide CIO organizations, or is this unique to Georgia?
Well, that's funny you ask, because actually we've done a lot of research about this. And we are finding that this is quite unique in this country, that there are not other organizations like the GCLA in other markets. And so we have a master plan, a grand plan, that we're going to...
Take over the world.
Take over the world.
$1 million.
Yeah. No, but to actually be able to create what we're doing and to be able to replicate this in other markets serve other technology leaders.
You're doing all the work anyway.
We
are. Right?
Might
as well write some of it down.
Well, you know, people come to this community and they're blown away. I got to be honest with you. We get CIOs come in from out of town. We get summits and summit organizers coming in from out of town. We get CEOs, other executives, and they are consistently blown away by the level of technology collaboration. The GCLA is great, and we are, I mean, constantly, I think, impressing them. But even beyond that, I mean, radio shows like this and other organizations, they're blown away about how unique Atlanta is. And so taking this good vibe and taking all of this stuff that we do and all the hard work and replicating in other communities, so... I think we have a huge opportunity there to evangelize in other cities.
And then I would imagine, and you can speak to this, that the CIOs in other markets, they're probably just as hungry for this kind of relationships as you guys are here in town.
They are.
Yeah,
they are
definitely.
Indeed.
We had one, and I'm trying to remember the name of the person who, there was one of our CIOs who was very involved with the GCLA, took a job in another market, and... constantly pines for the fact that...
And they're calling here, right?
And they're calling here. They miss the GCLA desperately. I want to say it was Randy Fox.
Randy Fox, who is the former CIO of one of the GE energy divisions here. And is still with GE, but with GE Healthcare. So he moved to Wisconsin.
In the Midwest. That's exactly right.
He's up in Wisconsin, I believe in Madison. And... you know, I used to call him the professor, but the professor still longs for, I don't know that they have a Wisconsin CIO Leadership Association.
Send him the handbook. Let him start one, right?
Send him his own CIO starter kit, right? That's exactly,
exactly right. Yeah. So, yeah. And then not too long ago, I had a chance to meet with an individual who's recently moved to Atlanta, has taken over the CIO role at a organization here. And, I had a chance to just tell him a little bit about who we are, what we do, you know, the value of membership. And he was blown away because he was looking for that peer-to-peer interaction. Because sometimes our CIOs, when they go to other events and organizations, not that those events aren't awesome, they are, but they're kind of bombarded by other companies trying to sell them their products
and
services.
There's always like an agenda that's
agenda.
Right.
And one of the values that I know that Jay's touched upon is the fact that it's safe. It's non-commercial. You can come together and not feel like you're going to be attacked by ninja throwing business card,
people. That's why I tell her all the time. You're dodging them like you're in the movie The Matrix in slow motion and you get really good at it. But
so there's a time and a place where we invite, I guess I'd like to segue back in. You'd asked about underwriters a little bit ago. They're the keepers of the flame. They're consistent. They're with us all the time. But we have, we do invite companies to become involved through sponsorship.
Right.
And those organizations, what makes it unique is that we do not talk to anyone who's not been invited by a Georgia-based CIO.
That's right.
So that right there creates a level of endorsement that says, I know you, I trust you, I've done business with you, and I'm comfortable in recommending you to my peers, a.k.a. I'm going to invite you to be a sponsor of the GCLA.
Because my name's associated with it.
That's
and if
right.
you come in and fall on your face, it's going to reflect poorly on me. So
right.
that's
you
exactly
have confidence
right.
that CIOs are bringing their best partners.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the opportunities for these types of organizations to get involved with the GCLA is through our CIO of the Year awards. Mm-hmm. We have different levels of sponsorship. And to your previous question, there are still some sponsorships left. Our golds are sold, but we still have a few silver and a few bronze that are available for the actual event. So You know, we work very closely with our advisory board and our members at large because, you know, I'm not out knocking on doors. They're making recommendations to me.
Right. And it's kind of an easy sell. You got passionate people like Jay. All they have to do is call one of the people who are part of the thing, right? It seems like a no-brainer if you're a CIO.
It grows every year, quite frankly. It does. Last year was, what, 1,100 people or nearly 1,100 people? And
yes.
See, look at that. Kelly's keeping me honest over there. She wrote,
she's good.
I feel like Johnny Carson in the 1,100. For those old people like us who all know who Kelly's like, who the heck is Johnny Carson?
Okay. He used to do what Jimmy Fallon is doing, okay?
What's his Twitter handle, Jake?
Yeah, exactly.
But Kelly, she's like Penn and Teller, like the small guy in the Penn and Teller act. We got to get her on the mic next time.
For sure.
Because we're going to do this kind of thing on a regular rhythm, I think.
We are, yeah.
We're going to get out and talk to more people.
Yeah, we're real excited to do that, too. And thank you very much. I wanted to thank you guys on the air for letting us come in and do that. But going forward, yeah, we'd love to bring in other CIOs from our membership, talk about what's going on in their organization, maybe what the GCLA means to them, and let you bombard them with questions about what's going on in industry.
Yes.
But I think we haven't scared them away.
No, you wouldn't do that. And I think it'd be a great opportunity for the listeners to learn from some of the great CIOs that we have in the Georgia community.
Oh, we have so many questions. There's the list of things, Jay, that we don't know. It's
very long.
Yeah.
It's inexhaustible. I think we will not run out of questions. No, this is going to be a blast. So your calendar for 2014, the balance of 2014, you've got it laid out. You've got a rhythm of events.
We do. So as I mentioned, we've got the nominee reception coming up in April. We have a membership event on June 12th. It's just for our members. And then as we get further into the season, we will be doing a finalist reception in September where we celebrate the 20 finalists.
Right.
And that immediately follows our leadership symposium, which we're very excited about as we build out that program. We've got a keynote speaker. We've got some other exciting ideas of who we're going to be inviting to participate. That's one of our larger, best attended events for our members because it's zeroing in on that leadership component. A lot of our members talk about, and I know Jay's referenced this, that they can get technology information all day long if they want to learn about the cloud or, you know, mobile computing or whatever. And it's not that we won't touch upon those topics. Of course we will. But where we really find that our CIOs are hungry is to understand the business component, the leadership, what does it take to become a CEO, a COO, how do those roles interact with the CIO within the business community,
right?
That sort
it seems
of thing.
Like they're hungry for that relationship and that kind of the personal and less of the kind of the nuts and bolts.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
So the nuts and bolts are really being handled by their direct reports and the organization that they've built underneath them. So we've got that planned in September. And then the actual day of the awards is October 31st, which will be at the Cobb Galleria. And we're very near announcing who our keynote speaker will be. It's still under wraps. Mm. But just to give you an idea of the caliber, last year was Tim Campos, who is the CIO of Facebook.
Right.
We've had some just high excellent caliber folks who have...
Steve Ballmer. We had Steve Ballmer from Microsoft as a keynote. We've had Steve Stuckenbrock from Dell, the number two behind Michael Dell.
Right.
So if your name's Steve, you get an in.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Steve.
Fill in the blank, whoever it is.
Remember. You know. Yeah, we'll take you.
Yeah, no problem there. But it's... with the collective cloud of the CIOs that are members, it's a great event, and people end up leaving this event saying best event of the year.
Absolutely.
And it's very, very well run, which is a testament to these ladies. But
now, things you need are sponsors. You need more members. What else?
Yes.
There you go. And more publicity so people know what great things that are happening
I know,
in the GCLA.
We've been tweeting in here. I'm sure your people have been tweeting. So
we're Kelly's over there tweeting like a. I mean, yeah. I mean, she's
a tweet
doing a great
queen.
Job.
Yeah.
She is.
All right. So if somebody wants to learn more, a website for you guys?
Okay. So it's... Do I need to say the W? Okay, so it's www.georgiacio.org.
That's Georgia spelled out, by the way.
And the Twitter handle is GeorgiaCIO as well.
That is correct.
That is right.
Yeah, those are our two primary ways to get more information about who we are and what we have to offer.
All right, Jay, give us the Cancer Society's info.
Man, you guys are great. You're the best. You did that last time, and I really want to appreciate that. It's Relay for Life season, which is our largest fundraiser. So if you want to get involved, check out relayforlife.org. and get involved. It's an inspirational event. It's a great evening of celebration, remembering, and joining other people who are fighting back in their battle against cancer. And 100% will go to the, you know, of course, the American Cancer Society to support the fight against cancer and our efforts to finish the fight and make this cancer's last century. So we are knee-deep in relay season. There are a lot of relays here in the metro Atlanta area, in DeKalb, Cobb, Gwinnett, UGA relay tomorrow night in Athens, Georgia, and all sorts of great relays. So check out relayforlife.org and get involved.
That's right, and the weather's good, so no excuses.
No excuses. None. In rain or shine, man. Those things are, we go on rain or shine. So we'll walk around a track for 24 hours with an umbrella if we have to, all in the name of remembering those we've lost, but also celebrating those who have won or are going through their battle and showing them our solidarity behind them. It's very, very cool.
All right. Well, thank you both for being part of the show today.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. This is it for Atlanta Technology Leaders for this week, and thanks again to Band of Coders who make this show possible.
Atlanta Technology Leaders is brought to you by Band of Coders. Band of Coders is a company of talented software developers who energize clients' projects and their development teams.